Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out at the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. We had a fun first hour, and hour number two will be a lot of fun as well. Coming up in 15 minutes from now, Troy Rank, Broncos insider at Denver 7, host of the Broncos podcast, will join us. We'll talk some Denver Broncos. And in 30 minutes from now, our buddy Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director over at the Borgata. But since we're kind of going with this theme of talking the Denver Broncos, Michael, we wanted to highlight what you wrote about at vsin.com. We encourage everybody to go ahead and read that over at the website. And it is a spotlight on the Denver Broncos. And you wanted to kind of highlight how Sean Payton being in Denver, it's going to be almost night and day from what we saw a year ago with Nathaniel Hackett at the helm, now that we have a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Yeah, I think we lose sight a little bit about the importance of coaching. You know, we focus so much on, you know, the players, and certainly they're important. But I what I tried to do in the article was go back to a time when there was a really bad team called the New York Football Jets, right? And Rich Kotite was the head coach. Leon Hess, the owner of the Jets and the founder of Hess Oil back here in New Jersey, when he saw that Rich Kotite got fired from the Eagles, he loved Rich Kotite. Rich Kotite was an offensive coordinator at the Jets for years. He loved them, loved his personality, was from Staten Island. They kind of meshed. And he fired Pete Carroll after 1 year to hire Rich Kotite and give him the reins of the organization. Well, that proved to be a disaster. Rich won 4 games in 2 years. When he was 1-14, he resigned after losing to the Eagles 21-20, and they hired Parcells. And he took that 1-15 team that had Neil O'Donnell at quarterback on a 5-year, $25 million contract. He was 0-6 for Rich Kotite. They spent $70 million that offseason going into Rich's second season, and it was a disaster. And Parcells took that team and won 9 games, and he was a play away. Keyshawn Johnson catches a pass against the Lions at the Silverdome, and they're going to the playoffs. So my point with bringing that all up is it's kind of a similar situation. Peyton's taken over a team that was poorly coached. Peyton's taken over a team that's quarterback wasn't playing well, that was high-priced. And Peyton will do what he has to do to get it going. What I tried to explain in the article was I'm assuming they're going to play better. But what I can assume is that Russell Wilson's going to turn the corner. Will he play better? Yes, I think that. Will he be the Russell of 13 and 14? I don't know about that. And I would rather wait and see and bet the Broncos on a in-game situation than wait until the end to do it before the season in terms of their over total. It seems like, okay, they're going to get their over total. I just don't think it's as easy as you might think it is, even though they will be vastly improved.
Well, what do you think might, I guess, deter this Wilson and Peyton relationship from being successful? Like, what's the top of the list there when you say you have concerns about whether, hey, is this going to work? Like is it just you, is it Russell Wilson perhaps just being falling off a cliff and being washed, is what he was called last year? Or do you think that maybe just from a football fit, it's not the greatest of situations?
Well, when you examine Russell, one of the things that we noticed over the year, 183 yards rushing his last season in Seattle, his inability to want to go get first downs with his feet, his inability to move in the pocket. And then last year, what you saw was his inability to really climb the ladder in the pocket, work north and south, get the ball out, see down the field. And those things are happening to quarterbacks who get hit too much. Yeah. And that's just a byproduct of age. Now, I know he's only 36 years old. He shouldn't be, or 37. He shouldn't be there. But at sometimes you see those signs, and they're hard to get back from. It's hard to get to it. And, you know, when he rushed in 2014, he averaged 7.4 carries per game and 7 yards per rush, and he got 47 first downs. Last year, he averaged 3.7 rushes per game and 5 yards a carry and only got 21 first downs. If he's not moving his feet, he's not Russell. Let him cook.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote that in the article. He said, no longer will be bombarded with the slogan of let Russ cook. Wilson will need to fit into the offense using his legs and his movement to make plays. And I think that's just like the hard coaching, because it felt like last year Nathaniel Hackett wanted to be Russell Wilson's best friend. You know, and maybe that's Hackett's personality. It seems like he's a nice guy, just football aside. It's like, oh, it seems like he's a pleasant person to hang out with. Maybe you'd want to have a beer with him. But I think we're at the point in Russell Wilson's career where he doesn't really need, like, a friend. You know, he needs a coach. And Sean Payton is going to be coaching him up, and is coaching him hard. And I think Russell Wilson, we'll see how he responds to that. Everything he said has been right. He said, that, hey, I'm embracing this. I've always wanted to play in this offense. Drew Brees was my idol when I was a kid growing up. But I guess we'll have to see when it actually gets onto the field. We've talked a lot about Wilson, though, Michael. What about Denver's defense? Because I think the assumption is that Denver's defense is going to pick back up right where it left off last year. But Ejiro Evero, the defensive coordinator, he's now in Carolina with that staff. Like, do you have any concerns about Denver on that side of the ball?
I do. I think when you watch them against teams that can really throw the football, right, I think they struggled. You know, they didn't play as well as they did. I mean, Kansas City was over 300 yards in both games. The Raiders, in an overtime game in Las Vegas, threw for 298. The Chargers threw the ball effectively on them. So I think, to me, you just can't assume they're going to be great defensively. Look, I know they signed Frank Clark as a rusher to replace Bradley Chubb. I know Randy Gregory's there. They can rush. But can they hold up? You know, can they hold up? I mean, they lost to the Jets. They gave up 155 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. Think about that. They lost. They gave up 150 to the Jets, and the Jets couldn't throw the ball. The Jets threw for 105. So, you know, I think they're just not to that elite level that people think they are automatically defensively. Remember, when you play against a bad offense, right, like the Denver Broncos last year, you don't go into the game saying, let's just torch them. Let's throw it around. You play more conservatively. You make sure you don't lose the game because you know they're not going to score very many points. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the most points they scored all year were 31 points against the Chargers in Week 18. Think about that, Femi. They scored. That's the first time they got over 30. They got over 30 points. They had 10 games where they couldn't get over 17 points. So you're not going out there and trying to dazzle people with your offense. You know that if you can keep from turning the ball over, you're going to win the game. Remember, they gave up 51 points. They gave up 51 points to the Rams with Baker Mayfield. To the Rams with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that was a Christmas disaster out there, and that's ultimately what got Nathaniel Hackett fired. After that game, he was then let go because at that point, I think there was like a mutiny on the sidelines. One of the offensive linemen was getting into it with Brett Rippon. Like, it was just a complete disaster that game in Los Angeles. There with you okay there, Michael?
Oh yeah, I'm good. Yeah, okay. I just kind of cough. I get sick here when you get kids around. You know.
Well, you got to crank that temperature up, man.
It's cold in here today, Femi.
And I know the temperature is a sensitive subject for us here, but we don't need to get into all of that. But ultimately, from a betting standpoint here, because we talked about the Denver Broncos a season ago, like, they were just an absolute disaster, 5-12, but it felt like it was even worse than that, 7-10 against the number.
Yeah, 5-12, but remember, they won the last game of the year that they probably – you know, the last game of the year that they won, Week 18 against the Chargers, when the Chargers shouldn't even be playing half their team. You know, that was a game that they scored 31 points in, you know, and they gained 471 yards. That was like their shining moment offensively.
Yeah.
Which leads yourself to the question of how good are the Chargers on defense when the Broncos can put that many yards on you?
Well, they're still trying to figure out that in L.A., that Chargers run defense. If it's as bad as it was a year ago, they're not going anywhere. I can go ahead and say that right now. But in terms of this year for Denver, because we obviously are very excited about Sean Payton, and the betting market was very down on Denver last year, but has at least shown a little bit of optimism now that Payton is the head coach. Win totals 8.5, make the playoffs is 2-1. To win the division, 5-1, conference 30-1, Super Bowl 50-1. But I think we'll just focus mainly on the win total and the make the playoffs. Like, this is a team in a tough AFC. If Payton can get this thing on the right tracks and get the most out of Russell Wilson, this time last year, a lot of people like this roster, and I get that Tim Patrick got hurt, but why can't they be a 10-7 team if Russell Wilson can get back to the level, not necessarily of 2013, 2014, but maybe if it's like the 2018 or 2019 version of Russell Wilson?
So they play the NFC North, right? Which we know is not an elite conference, right? They got, you know, they play Chicago in Chicago. They play Detroit at Detroit. So they got those two games there, and then they play Green Bay at home, and they play Minnesota at home. So, you know, those are games that you probably have a chance. They should, maybe they go 3-1 in those. AFC West will be tough. You're not going 6-0 in the AFC West.
No.
Right? So say they go 3-3 in the AFC West. Now you got 6 wins. right? They got to play the Washington Commanders out of pocket, right? Mm-hmm. But they also play the AFC East, which is not an easy division. They've got to go to Miami. They've got to go to Buffalo. So, and then they get New England at home. So I think to me this will be interesting to see. That's why I'm not ready to bet their over total, because with playing the AFC East, playing the AFC West, those are hard things. And if they even if they play well in the North, I still think it's going to be a challenge.
Well, what do you think their record is after 2 weeks of play? They host the Raiders. Right now they're a 3.5-4 point favorite. Then they host the Commanders week two. They'll be favored in that game as well. What do you think their record is heading into week three at Miami?
Well, I would assume you play two home games to start the season. You should be 2-0 against teams. Now, they didn't beat the Raiders once last year. Mm-hmm. This Washington Commanders team, they didn't turn the ball over defensively, but it'll be everything they want to handle for the Broncos. That'll be a true test for Russell Wilson. Is he really changed? We know the Raiders are not great on defense. The Raiders are going to be improved on defense. They're just not great on defense. But I think that Commanders game, we're going to have a sense coming out of September where Russell Wilson is for sure.
Yeah. I think the main takeaway here is that if in those first 2 weeks it doesn't go well for Denver, it might not go well the rest of the season, I feel like, yeah. Because they got to start fast. Looking at the rest of that schedule to give themselves a chance to go ahead and make the playoffs. Right now they're plus 200 over at BetMGM to do just that. We'll ask Troy Rank on the other side if he believes the Broncos are a playoff team and what the transition has been like from Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton. We'll get into that on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, hanging out on this Saturday morning. And joining us right now, he is a Broncos insider at Denver 7, the ABC affiliate out there in the Rocky Mountains, the host of the Broncos podcast. He is Troy Rank, joining us right now on the Lombardi Line. Troy, we appreciate the time that you're taking this morning to talk with us. And I want to start with, obviously, the head coaching change going from Nathaniel Hackett to now Sean Payton. You guys have had months and months to kind of digest this and see how things are going. What, in your opinion, is the biggest difference from last year now to this year?
Yeah, it's gone from Sesame Street to Compete Street. There's actually a sign that reads Compete Street outside the Broncos locker room as you enter the practice field. It's just the discipline and the accountability. Nathaniel Hackett is a good guy. It's just you can be a good guy and not be a good head football coach. And he just had trouble holding guys accountable. There were no consequences to mistakes. And that's why they were one of the most penalized teams and the worst offensive team. There are a number of reasons on offense, but that's the biggest difference. Even when you watch practice, it's just run with purpose, no wasted movement like a shark. And Peyton's experience comes through. I covered Mike Shanahan. It reminds me a lot of that. I think Peyton's a little different personality-wise than Coach Shanahan, but the way they run a practice and the way they hold guys accountable, it's very similar. And I know, Coach Payton's from the Bill Parcells tree, so I definitely see some of that as well. But the biggest difference is just the experience in the coaching staff and the amount of discipline and the way it's structured. It just looks like, there's a grown-up in the room again.
Yeah, there is a grown-up in the room, and accountability is the trademark of Parcells. It's going to be the trademark of Payton. How do they look? How do they look, Troy, in terms of offensively? Do you see a better rhythm out of Russell Wilson? Do you see a more confident player out there on the field?
Not yet. We thought we'd see it because in the offseason, in May, June, the workouts, the offense looked crisp. You could see how the pieces, Michael, would fit together in the puzzle. But then once they put pads on, we haven't seen that with any consistency yet. It's not a reason to panic, but Russell Wilson's just not comfortable in the pocket. He's not. And so that's kind of what they're seeing, is like they're calling plays that maybe they wouldn't call during the season. They're certainly calling plays against the Broncos defense that they wouldn't call in an ordinary game. That's led to, you know, Justin Simmons has 4 picks in camp, three straight days he picked off Russell Wilson. But Russell yesterday was, I thought, his best day. He's had a couple of good days, but yesterday he finally gained momentum in some 7-on-7 and certainly in a 2-minute drill where he moved around, he climbed the pocket. So you can see flashes of it, Michael, but as Sean Payton has said, like when you go to a karaoke bar, you sing the song that you're good at. Like I'm not singing Whitney Houston, I'm singing Violet Femme. I'm not going to sing something I can't sing. Last year's offense was Russell Wilson, as you know, trying to sing Whitney Houston. Like it did not fit in any way, shape, or form. So I asked Sean Payton yesterday about this. How do you evaluate the offense? Because as a reporter, I'm there every day. It's the nature of the beast. We kind of give a daily report card. And Coach Payton said that it isn't till that first preseason game where you really start evaluating the offense. That's kind of the first mile marker. So I'm not worried. It's just, you know, it's just weird how uncomfortable Russell Wilson is in the pocket. But I don't expect him to do as much of that. And if he does, it's going to be deeper drops so he can see better over the line of scrimmage.
I think Lombardi's karaoke song of choice is Born in the USA, maybe. But we're speaking with Troy and
Rank. No, it's somewhere in the night. But look, I think what Troy's saying there is what I've been saying.
Interesting, yeah.
And the data, and I'm not there watching practice, but the data supports what Troy's saying. I mean, the guy ran for 21 first downs last year. Last season, if you combine last season and the year before, he's rushed for less than 500 yards the last 2 years, when his 3 years ago in Seattle, he rushed for over 500 yards. He doesn't want to move in the pocket. He doesn't want to, as Troy said, as I've said, climb the ladder. And if he doesn't want to do it when he knows he's not going to get hit, what's it going to look like when he gets hit?
Yeah, and that's where they've got to find out where that fit is, because you have to do some stuff from the pocket to protect the run game. But there's got to be enough of it that keeps the defense offense basically honest in the run game. And one thing I can tell you guys for sure, they're going to run the heck out of the football. They, you know, Javonte Williams has been the most inspiring story removed from ACL and PCL surgery, and I wouldn't even know he had an operation. I mean, if you can't, you barely see his brace outside his tights, but he's got burst. He's got, you know, he's cutting. He's showing. He hasn't been tackled to the ground. I understand that, but I don't know that I've ever seen a guy look that good that point in his recovery from ACL surgery, and he's going to combine with Samaje Perine. But they have got to run the ball if this offense is going to function, and that's what Sean Payton had told me. Like, the run game is going to be part of our DNA, and that's the way that's going to fix Russell Wilson and get him back on track. I mean, the guy was on a Hall of Fame track. He didn't completely forget how to play football. They just got to figure out where the fit is. And remember, he's getting older. That's the problem. People, they want him to run and run. He's going to be 35 this season. The running is going to have to be like 6 carries. Like, he can't be running 10, 12 times a game unless you're just planning on playing Jared Stidham like half the season.
Well, we're speaking with Troy Rank here, Denver Broncos insider for Denver 7. They're also the host of the Broncos podcast. That's my next question here, Troy, because right now on the surface it might seem crazy, but let's have the conversation. What if Russell Wilson plays poorly the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season? We know that Sean Payton has a lot of respect for Jared Stidham. They signed him in free agency. They've been raving about this guy. Is there a scenario to where if Russell Wilson plays poorly, we could see Jared Stidham as the quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
Well, I mean, it would be how it looks. Like, if they're 3-2 and how, you know, his stats don't look great, but how is he getting to those stats? I think that how he would get there would matter more than the actual numbers. If they're 4-1 and he's not playing well, I would, you know, the football coaches don't change things up typically when you're winning. But let's say, I mean, they start off with the Raiders and Commanders. They're favored in both those home games. And then you go to Miami, and then you ultimately have that October 8th game against the Jets. If they get off to a slow start, especially at home, that's where the pressure would really mount on Wilson. And the difference is this year, you know, where Hackett just essentially said, whatever you want, Russell, we'll do. It doesn't matter. There's no accountability to anyone. And they didn't have any until Jerry Rosberg took over the last 2 games. If Russell were playing horribly, I can't believe that there wouldn't be a point where Sean Payton would go to him and sit him down. Because you have to remember, Sean Payton, he came back to win, and he didn't sign Russell Wilson. Russell predates him by a year. And it would be hard to move on from Russell because of the contract, because you'd basically eat $41 million a year over, you know, for 2 years straight. Ooh. You would be paying him $41 million not to play for you. But for me, this entire year is an audition for Wilson. Can he work with Peyton? Because let's say he has a year where he throws 18 touchdowns and 12 picks. Why would you go back to it for a third year? That wouldn't make any sense given what Sean Payton's trying to accomplish here. So it bears watching. They did really like Stidham. Stidham hasn't done anything in camp that makes you go, wow. But it bears watching because now they have a legitimate backup behind him. Last year, Brett Rypien, great guy, future maybe head coach in college or the NFL. He wasn't a threat to Russell Wilson, where Jared Stidham's actually started and played well in NFL games.
Yeah. Now, let's add, what is the plan for Wilson this summer? Last year, he didn't throw a pass in any preseason game. Remember that Buffalo game where we knew something was wrong? I mean, they went up to Buffalo and got their asses. They got kicked. I mean, they got destroyed, right? So what is the plan for Russell Wilson this summer?
They're going to play in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge mistake not to play in one game last year. I asked Hackett that. You know, don't you need to be in Russell Wilson's helmet for one game in a stadium before you go to Seattle? He's like, I'm out here doing it every day. There's like 18 people here, friends and relatives. It's a little different than Seattle, which is like a Premier League soccer league or Dominican Winter League baseball game. That's the loudest crowd I've ever heard and been covered in 30 years of covering professional sports. They never, ever shut up. It was so loud, and the Broncos looked completely ill-equipped and unprepared. Shocked, because they didn't prepare for it. They're going to play the starters some. Javonte Williams is right now set to play in game two, so I would assume Russell Wilson could play then. Sean hasn't mentioned if the guys would play in the first game. I don't know if they would in the first, but they're absolutely going to play, Michael, in this preseason because they need to. I mean, they've had six straight losing seasons. They've missed the playoffs seven straight years. You can't give this team the benefit of the doubt. They've got to get reps. It's a new coaching staff. And that's what I love about it. There's consequences. Yesterday they had three pre-snap penalties in two-minute drill, and Peyton's like, yeah, it's a point of emphasis, and eventually you just take the player out. Shock, that's what you do. There has to be – you send a message through someone's butt that, hey, you're going to sit. You can come over here and coach if you can't figure it out. And there was no consequence last year to dumb stuff, ever, whether it's fumbles, whether it's penalties. That just breeds a losing culture when guys know they're not going to have any accountability. So they will play, and there's going to have to be things that have to be accomplished in those games. And I'm curious to see what the playbook looks like.
Well, Troy, we're up against it a little bit here on time. We appreciate
Thank you
joining
you,
us. This is Troy Rank, Broncos insider for Denver 7. We'll react to that on the other side. And also, TG joins us here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN pro subscriber and get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 College Football Betting Guide. Both the College Football Guide and our NFL Betting Guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Excellent deal. We encourage everyone to take advantage of that here. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, hanging out on this Saturday morning. And joining us right now, it is our buddy, Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well. We appreciate you taking the time. Let's start. We're going to talk some Big Ten, but let's start with the Pac-12 while we can, since this is probably the last year of the conference. When you look at the futures market here, TG, USC right now is the odds-on favorite, -165 over at BetMGM. But there's a lot of good teams and a lot of really good quarterback depth in this conference as well. How do you kind of break this one down, the Conference of Champions that is now on borrowed time?
Yeah, as you said, probably the last season for the Pac-12. So we've seen some play here on the third betting favorite in terms of odds behind USC and Oregon. That's Washington. this team went 11-2 last season with Michael Penix. He's back at quarterback, legit Heisman contender. And this is an offense that has big expectations. They're returning seven stars on offense, eight on defense, which certainly needs to show some improvement as they gave up some big numbers last season. They should be able to go toe-to-toe on offense with the likes of USC, but defensively is where, you know, some of the question marks emerge, I think, for the Huskies. But they're getting bet here in terms of winning the Pac-12. +475 is where we opened them. They're now sitting at +375. But yeah, I mean, they're taking the, that's where the bettors seem to be kind of streaming to. And USC there 2-1, Oregon 3-1, and now Washington plus 375. But the Huskies are certainly taking their share of money.
Sorry, Michael, before you jump in, Michael, I just want to issue a correction. I was reading the make the Pac-12 title game odds, not the win the Pac-12. USC 2-1. Sorry about that. I just want to issue that correction before we went further.
No, but I think to me, everybody loves Penix. I mean, not a lot of people have seen him, but he played well when he was in Indiana with Kaiten DeBoer as the head offensive coordinator. The interesting team to me also in there is Utah. Nobody ever gives Utah any love, and Cam Rising returns, and we know Utah's always a good team.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, it's funny because you're absolutely right. Nobody does give them love, it seems. You know, he suffered that torn ACL in the Rose Bowl, and but he'll be back, and they're returning a lot of depth here on both sides of the ball. So, including Cam Rising. So, I think Utah, you know, they do deserve a look. You know what this defense is always year in and year out. They're a physical defense. And there just doesn't seem to be any weaknesses there on that side. So, I think Utah does deserve a little bit of a look.
We're speaking with Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, is there any interest in Oregon State? I know Jonathan Smith is a really impressive head coach. They now have DJ Uiagalelei as the quarterback there, transferring over from Clemson. Last year was a really good season there. Right now the Beavers 10-1 to win the Pac-12. Any interest on the Beavers out there at Corvallis?
We're getting some money here on the over of their season wins, which is 8.5 currently, but not much. Not many people taking shots on them to win the Pac-12, but their over win total for the year, 8.5, is getting some action.
Yeah, that's a tough one, too, because their schedule is tougher, you know. And so how about the teams on the under? Are you taking money on Stanford's under?
So right now for that, we're getting – Colorado's getting hit on the under of 3.5,
yeah.
Which not really surprising there. I think that's just where you kind of seem better is – nationally kind of gravitate towards taking the Colorado under. Stanford, the under is set at, well, the over-under set at 2.5. So actually we've got a little bit more action on the over of 2.5 there.
Well, TG, let's talk Big Ten. Right now we have co-favorites, Michigan and Ohio State plus 180, Penn State's plus 550, alongside Wisconsin, which I know a lot of people here at VSiN like Wisconsin. If you go ahead and read the college football betting guide, they're also plus 550 as well. How is this one kind of shaking out there from the bettors over there at the Borgata?
Yes, I have Michigan plus 180. Ohio State, I have plus 190. And it's, you know, Michigan, obviously the two-time defending champions with a pretty decent schedule overall. They do play at Penn State on November 11th and end the regular season at home against Ohio State. Some people say it's a coin flip between them and Ohio State to win this conference. They have the exact same season win total at 10.5. I do give Michigan a slight edge here as they have what could be Harbaugh's best team of his tenure there. J.J. McCarthy's back at quarterback. Blake Corum back at running back. I would give Ohio State the edge, a wide receiver, obviously, with Marvin Harrison Jr., who happened to be Kyle McCord's high school teammate at St. Joe's Prep there. McCord will be the likely starter at quarterback for the Buckeyes. They have a great backfield, but I give the big edge to Michigan in terms of the offensive line, along with McCarthy's experience at quarterback. And defensively, Ohio State has improved, but again, I lean towards the Wolverines overall. I just think this is going to be a great fight between these two programs. But, of course, you also have to take a look at Penn State, who has a season win total set at 9.5. And as Michael knows, this is Penn State country. Even though we're in South Jersey, there's a lot of alumni in this area. Penn State's always a popular program here. And believe me, I just came from Pennsylvania last week. I was up there and spent the week there. There's a lot of excitement and optimism here, despite having two of the country's best teams in their conference. I think that Rose Bowl victory has definitely carried over in some people's minds, but the success or lack thereof of the Nittany Lions will really be in the hands of Drew Aller, who takes the reins of the offense from Sean Clifford. you know, he'll have good protection behind a line that's returning a lot of starters. They also have an extremely talented backfield with Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. The defense last year was sound. They have 8 starters returning there. I don't know if the Nittany Lions will be good enough to topple both Ohio State and Michigan, but they have some great talent on paper, and they definitely have some people believing again in Happy Valley.
There is excitement in Happy Valley, no question about that. And I think, to me, you know, if Aller is good, I mean, look, Sean Clifford was, we know what Sean Clifford was, 5th-round pick of the Packers. He had some moments and he didn't. But to me, this is a team that, you know, they are on par, as we wrote about in the betting guide, they're on par athletically with Ohio State and Michigan. They've done a great job recruiting, and they got 16 starters back. And their defense really played well at the end of the year. So, if not now, when, TG?
Well, right. And I think the difference there, as you said, the defense played better towards the end of the year. There was a push for a more physical play from the defense there towards the end of the year. And we'll see if that carries over. The other team in the Big Ten that we can take a look at real quick here is Wisconsin. New head coach Luke Fickell and new offensive coordinator from UNC, Phil Longo. They'll have Tanner Mordecai, who's the SMU transfer. He was brought in. And some people may look at this and say, is Wisconsin going away from what we have seen on offense from this team in years past, which is running the football? But they still have a tremendous backfield. I think things are just going to get a little more evened out in terms of the play calling. I really like this win total over this season, as they don't play Michigan or Penn State. And at 8.5, I think this is a very doable schedule to get the 9 or 10 wins for the Badgers.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people liking that Wisconsin team right there. Maybe they are the team that represents the Big Ten West in the Big Ten title game. Real quick, TG, we got about 1.5 minutes left. Northwestern, obviously a tumultuous offseason for their program. Pat Fitzgerald no longer the head coach. Their win total is at 3. Are people just betting that under? I can't imagine there's a whole lot of optimism for the Purple Cats.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. And I think this was a program that really wasn't, nobody was high on coming into, even before all the issues that came out. So people have just been pounding the under here on the season wins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, even Skip Holtz is going to come in and help. But, you know, I mean, they had 12 returning players from last season. It's just so hard. It was going to be hard to begin with, but I think now it makes it even harder.
It's a tough offseason there for the Northwestern Wildcats here. TG, do you think any, like, you mentioned that you like Michigan to edge out Ohio State, then this might be Harbaugh's best team. We got about 25 seconds left. Michigan, would you bet them to make the college football playoff, or do you just kind of stick to the Big Ten?
No, I would bet them to make the playoff. And, you know, I think some people have Ohio State power ranked slightly ahead of Michigan. I have them virtually dead even. And I think this is Harbaugh's best team that he's had there. So I give them a slight edge here in terms of the schedule, and I would bet them to make the playoff.
All right, right now they are 8-1 to win the national title. He is Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks,
all right,
TG.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff there from TG. On the other side, we'll wrap up the show with some other news and notes from around the National Football League.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Femi, before we get started back on Pro again, I wanted to, you know, when we had – We were talking college football earlier. I wanted to come back on a question. Are you going to bet that Texas A&M's over-under win total is only at 8? Like, I mean, that seems too tempting to me. Look, I know they were bad last year. I get that. But Bobby Petrino's a really good offensive coach. He's way better than the PR that comes out of Jimbo Fisher's camp. But if he's allowed to call plays – you know, 8 wins for that team. I mean, they've got New Mexico. That's a win. They Miami, who knows? It's Monroe, tough. Louisiana, Monroe. You know, they've got Abilene Christian's on their schedule. I think, to me, over 8 looks like a pretty good play here.
Well, I guess it's because you need them to win 9 games to cash your ticket. So at Miami will be a difficult game. Alabama come to town. You'll be an underdog there. At Tennessee, that's another tough one. At LSU. So I don't know if there's a whole lot, because I feel like you're going to lose Bama. You're going to lose at Tennessee.
But you got 20 starters back, Femi.
I mean, you want to go to war with A&M against Bama?
Oh, they'll be better. Look, they had them beat last year. They didn't get the two-point play.
Yeah, and that's true.
They had a chance last year.
They did. They
had a chance last year to beat them. They didn't get the two-point play.
Yeah.
And look, it's funny. Everybody, look, I thought Milroe might be great, you know, but I think Milton at Tennessee is not getting the benefit of the doubt. Milroe, when I watched him play last year, he was a runner more than a thrower.
Yep.
Now, maybe that'll change after a season. I mean, Alabama's got new offense coordinator, new defense coordinator. You know, so there's some things. I'm not in love with the A&M football program, especially with Jimbo at the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't win 8 games, if he doesn't win 9 games this year, I don't care what his contract says.
You mean they're going to pay that buyout? Man, that buyout is it's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money. But they have the boosters to do it. So maybe they go ahead and do it if things aren't successful. I just think that you're working from a situation to where, in my opinion, I see 3 losses already on the schedule with Bama, at Tennessee, at LSU. Can you get the Miami game? The Miami game that September 9th is going to be a really big pivot point for them. But also, like, Auburn's no slouch. You know, like, Arkansas, they sometimes do some stuff. But, like, to me, the pivot point, though, is September 9th. I think if you like A&M, honestly, to go over their win total, maybe you bet them to win outright at Miami. And you just get that ticket and you get that money on September 9th.
Because I think that makes sense. Yeah,
because you're going to need that one.
You're going to need that one. There's no question you're going to need that one. And they beat Miami last year.
They did, but that was a college
Miami's
station.
Miami is the greatest paper team in college football. You know, they are. But when Cristobal puts that headset in on Saturday afternoon,
you don't want it.
Go ahead and support it. Go ahead. But when that headset goes on Saturday afternoon, you want your money there? I don't.
Cristobal had us questioning whether Justin Herbert was good or not. Like, that tells
not
you right.
Question. I mean, what was the head coach at UNLV? I mean, he made him look like a journeyman.
He did. It's like, are we?
And he got a head coaching job out of it.
Yeah, that was not a ringing endorsement for, like, you have Justin Herbert. You should win a freaking national title, man. What's going on?
They're running half field. They're sprinting him out to the right. I was like, what's going on here?
It's insane. But as somebody who rooted for a Pac-12 team, I appreciated it. We miss Mario Cristobal. But he can recruit his tail off. That's one thing he can do.
What we all say. Yeah, but it is a coaching sport.
It is. You actually need to vote those guys. That'll be the recruiting, the 24/7 stars battle. Texas A&M versus Miami. All the 5 stars on there with no sense of direction whatsoever. We'll see what happens in that game September 9th. But let's get into, though, Michael. Because we want to thank our guests before we move forward. Because Carl Jig-Jag Johnson, he joined us from the Beau Rivage. Of course, thank you to Troy Rank. I thought he was awesome on the Denver Broncos. Didn't pull any punches. I thought he was really, really good in that one. Of course, thank you to Thomas Gable breaking down the Pac-12 and the Big Ten as well here. But, Michael, we wanted to get to some of the news and notes from around the National Football League. And we were talking a little bit about it during the break, but I wanted to bring the conversation on the air. The Chicago Bears recently signed Yannick Ngakoue to a 1-year, $10.5 million deal. And I'll ask it to you this way. Is this everything? Is this something? Or is this nothing?
Look, I mean, the guy has a unique ability to produce numbers. You know, had, what do you have, like 10.5 sacks last year?
9.5 sacks.
9.5. You know, but what he specializes in most is running past the quarterback. And this is why he's on his 16th, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why he's a defensive line coach's nightmare. Because the worst place to be in football is pass the quarterback. Because now the game becomes 11-on-10. Mm. Because the quarterback, in my experience, in watching football for most of my life, I've yet to see him turn and run in that direction. He just doesn't do it. You know, maybe Danny O did when he was stepped out of bounds the Lions over there. But I'll leave that out, okay? But I've yet to see him turn and run that way. So this is why he is, you know, we got Ndakwe. Oh, my God. Yeah. You watch him run past the quarterback. Watch the quarterback step up into the C gap and then make a throw down the field because he wants to run up the field. So, I mean, but it's remarkable. He still makes – he gets contracts. You know, he still gets contracts. He got a contract from the Raiders. I mean, here's a guy who was traded from Jacksonville to Minnesota, and then he got traded from Minnesota to Baltimore before the deadline, and Baltimore was like, no, we're done. We don't want, you know, like, we can't. But he keeps getting jobs because he puts up certain kind of enticing numbers. But if you study the game, it really, he impacts losing more than winning.
Well, that's my follow-up question to you, is that, like, these teams are clearly watching tape, I would hope, before they go out and sign him. Can't they see past the sack total? Because the sack total, like you said, like, if you're just looking at a box score, you're like, oh, Ngakoue, 9.5 sacks, how is he available in August? But if you actually watch him, yeah, maybe he got 9.5 sacks, and he was probably in the backfield with a chance to get the quarterback maybe 12 to 15 times. Like, he's efficient, kudos to him, and he's made a lot of money, but, like, this is not a consistent pass rusher.
Well, but, in you know, look, in the Chicago scheme, which is the Indy scheme, right, they want their ends up the field. And I'm sure Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears, is saying, look, we'll coach him up. He'll give us a presence on the outside. He'll help us. We understand his limitations, but he can still get up the field. You make excuses for it. But then in a key game, when he doesn't come through with a play or he steps outside, one of the things that is probably least coached in the NFL is coordinated pass rush. It really is. The coordinators spend so much time with the secondary making sure the pressure, making sure the coverage is good. They don't spend enough time on the defensive game plan rush. How can we most affect the quarterback? If we're playing Russell Wilson, we got to get in the paint. How do we get in the paint? If we're playing Kyler Murray, we got to keep – one end has got to come inside. The other end has to stay on top. We've got to pin him inside. It's kind of the unspoken way to stop a quarterback because coverage doesn't really matter. If coverage only is effective if pressure's there. If you you know, there's no coverage that can hold off a quarterback.
Yeah. It's like rushing with contain, I think, is like the key thing with a lot of, especially with the quarterbacks being a lot more athletic today than they were maybe 20, 30 years ago. If you're just rushing out there, just wild four guys doing an individual activity, then you're going to get quarterbacks that break the pocket and then can go out and make those plays in space. But if you actually rush with contain, you can at least go ahead and contain those guys to the pocket. Let's get to some of the other contracts, because there was a lot of contract stuff that was coming out yesterday. We saw Logan Wilson get a four-year extension, $37 million from Cincinnati. Matthew Judon got the adjusted contract in New England, $14 million now guaranteed in that contract for 2023. So he is now going to be a full go at Patriots camp. Malik Hooker signed 3 years, $24 million with Dallas there. He's been impressive so far in training camp, according to the reports. And then Cam Jordan, 2 years, $27.5 million. We got about 45 seconds. Any of those that interest you that jump out?
Well, I mean, I think this is the adjustment. These are adjustments to the free agent market. And this is what Zach Martin's looking for. I'm sure Zach Martin's saying to Jerry, why would you give Malik Hooker the money and not to me?
Yeah. Well, Jerry's already earmarking money for Micah Parsons. At least that's what he's telling people.
Well, and he's right. He is.
Yeah. He's got to earmark that money. I'm curious to see what Nick Bosa signs for, because Parsons, that's pretty much going to be his contract. What next time?
It'll be right there.
It'll be right there.
It'll be 32 a year for 5 years with a zillion guaranteed.
Well, hey, he's worth it. You know, he's worth it. You know, he's been a hell of a player for the Dallas Cowboys.
49 quarterback hits. I think he is, Femi.
100%. Two-time All-Pro just 2 years into his career. We absolutely love to see it. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Michael Lombardi, for our producer Elliot Bowman, for the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you guys all the best of luck today with all the bets. Coming up next, it is The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.